This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive with Em and Warren. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you. Gender, sexuality, and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarn doesn't know, and if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
I've often had chats with my friends about how older women in TV and film just do not look their age. What's the deal with being 50 plus in Hollywood? Here to unpack it is the wonderful Lauren Rosewarn.
Hey, Lauren.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Lauren, what is happening in Hollywood that has us thinking about age?
Yeah, so what's put it on the agenda at the moment is that we've got a very successful sequel to Top Gun. It's been, you know, a couple of years in the waiting because of COVID. It was delayed release, so it's finally here. And we've got Tom Cruise reprising his role. We've got Val Kilmer, who was in the original, making a cameo. But the two women who are in the film, Kelly McGillis and Meg Ryan, are not in the film. So the question has been raised about whether there is something wrong with how Meg Ryan and Kelly McGillis look now as to why they're not included and why they haven't been invited back. Kelly McGillis has certainly spoken about it. She said it's because she's too old and too fat and that she doesn't look age appropriate anymore, or at least she looks age appropriate in, you know, real human judgment, but not age appropriate as to what we expect a woman of that age to look like in Hollywood.
So what is the deal with no one wanting to age in Hollywood?
Yeah, look, I think this is a I always think of the media, and particularly Hollywood sort of film and television, as being a gross exaggeration of the values of our culture. And that idea of, you know, women valued for their appearance, right? In their youthful appearance, in their sexiness, in their, you know, without saying it, their ability to bear children, those kind of things that we value women for, at least historically, have been skewed towards who we see on the screen. Men, we tend to let them grow older, we'll say without, you know, with less intervention surgically, because we associate men as their contributions to society being connected to resources, right? So a man accumulates more stuff, more wisdom, more assets as he gets older. So we tend to allow him to be his older self on screen. Tom Cruise is obviously a very weird exception because he kind of looks the same as he looked, you know, several decades ago. Whether or not that's the result of surgical interventions or the powers of Scientology, I don't know.
It seems like in Hollywood, older women are a lot of older women are turning to plastic surgery and Botox to kind of keep their youth and have them remaining looking the same age forever. Nicole Kidman, I think, is a good example of that. And I think a lot of people have recently on the internet been like, what is going on? You look literally younger than you did 10 years ago. Why is it that women need to turn to plastic surgery and Botox to get cast? Because Nicole Kidman is in things, but she's certainly not looking what you'd expect her to at her age.
No, and there's a number of questions about that in the sense of, is it because women, you know, actresses are having these interventions to improve their chances of being cast in a really competitive environment? Because snapping at their heels is a gorgeous 24, 25-year-old who would do that role, you know, and because there's not really a meritocracy in acting in the sense of who's the best, who knows? It's whoever opens a box office. I think the other aspect of this, though, is also this idea of women just being looked at more than men and scrutinized more than men. So there's a damned if you do, damned if you don't aspect to it. If you have a lot of cosmetic interventions, such as, you know, we know certain actresses have been given a lot of attention for it, they're criticized as being, you know, why, what have you done to your face? Why don't you look the way you looked when you were 20? Can you even smile anymore? Versus if you go down the other path of an actor who perhaps an actress who hasn't been in the public eye for a number of years, the paparazzi take a really unflattering photo and the caption will be, she's let herself go. Mm. So that idea of if you have interventions or if you don't, you're still going to get criticized for it. At least I could imagine the calculation of someone like Nicole Kidman would be, at least with the interventions, I get work.
We're chatting with Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne about being aged 50 or over in Hollywood and what that means. Lauren, when we last spoke, we spoke about the, you know, the Maya online campaign.
Yes.
Using plus size models as such. So it's almost as though, you know, on the internet we're open to celebrating bodies of different shapes and sizes. But when it does come to the aging, we're not ready to, you know, confront the truth, are we?
Well, see, I'm not even sure if we're not ready. I suspect audiences probably are ready. It's that producers and the people who make these films and television shows are risk adverse. So their calculations are, we want to produce a film or a television series that has the greatest chances of getting the most eyeballs on it. So if that means casting someone stereotypically hot or young, because we know that that's going to attract a certain demographic of audiences, that's what they do. And this is the reason of, you know, historically you haven't seen larger women on the front covers of magazines or, you know, on posters for movies, because the calculation is that people buy these products for escapism and people want to escape into beauty rather than realism. I think that's changed. I think the audience have grown more accommodating and accepting of a greater diversity of body shapes and sizes. It's studios that don't want to take that risk because it's a very expensive risk to take.
The idea of escapism, though, is interesting because, you know, you mentioned that maybe we're actually moving away from that as audiences, but certainly that does seem to be an element that seems to I guess, have some contribution to what's happening to the studios, at the studios, rather. Like, I feel like age is harder to sit with comfortably than a body shape thing, because age is inevitable and we're all kind of looking at age like, okay, well, we're all going to do it and we're doomed, you know?
Yeah, look, you're right. I think certainly, let's say in advertising, the understanding has always been you want to purchase a product from someone who is more attractive than you or has a better lifestyle than you, because that's what you're hoping to buy a little of in that purchase, right? So, you know, it's sometimes called the dream factory idea, that you're purchasing a lipstick from someone beautiful in the hope that buying that lipstick and wearing it will make you beautiful too. Film and television, though, while it did used to do that, you know, if you think of the films that were being made in the 40s and 50s, disproportionately, they did do a lot of that. They did sell you this dream factory idea. Nowadays, though, we've got such diversity in content, and so much of it isn't actually selling us a perfect life and a song and dance number, but rather is actually showing us slice of life stuff, in which case you'd say, well, hang on, why doesn't it look more like we do? And it's also a disproportionately American thing, because if you look at British television, there is far more diversity in terms of age and appearance on British television than there is in the US. And I think it's a problem for us in Australia because our popular culture is so dominated by US productions.
Lauren, always good to chat with you. We'll talk to you again next week.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne.
Joy Drive with Em and Warren, 4 to 6 p.m. weekdays on Joy. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.